keeps me from getting to you, babe.
Remember that day,
babe,
that I was
set you free.
Is that how it goes?
Are you singing
about the day that you're born?
Are you singing the Sister Act version?
Yeah,
they're
singing the.
Yeah.
Well, did you notice I was a meek nun? Did you notice how meek I was?
And then. I saw your little hands intertwined.
And then Kathy Nim- at the bottom and Jimmy was like, hey, now.
And then Maggie Smith was like, oh, yeah, what and are then, you?
And
what?
Then,
oh, Sister Mary Clarence, what are you doing?
I forgot that.
You guys. These are great bloopers for later.
Wow. I think we're going to keep that as the opening. Welcome to Wham Bam Pow. This is an action and sci-fi movie podcast, as you could tell by our version of Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Mm.
Very appropriate. But, I mean, if you think about it, what flies over high mountains? UFOs. You know what I mean? How'd they get those mountains so big? Explosions. I'm assuming that's a very action and sci-fi thing. Hey, so I'm here. I'm Cameron Esposito. I'm your host. I've got two wonderful panelists. I've got the Lady James Dean, Ms. Rhea Butcher. How you doing, Rhea?
I am great. Glad to be here.
Yeah, you look cheery and chipper.
Thank you.
Ricky Carmona is here, the Afro spokesman.
Oh, what it do, people?
How you spokesing over there,
you
boy?
You know, I'm just being a spokes for the persons. Is that right? Is that possible?
Yeah, I think that's right.
That's what we're doing.
You are going on tour.
I am going on tour.
Is that next week?
That tour starts next Thursday night in San Francisco.
Ooh.
I'll be at the, yes, very excited. I've never been to San Francisco before.
Yeah, you'll love it.
Very excited.
Ooh, burritos.
Be at the Cine Cafe. What's that?
Burritos.
Burritos.
Oh, you'll be at the Cine Cave?
The Cine Cave, yes. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Cine Cave.
That place is great. 40-seat venue in the basement of an old VHS video store.
Yeah.
Which it is right up your alley.
That's what I heard. When they told me that's where the show was, I was like, I'm fucking in. That's going to be so great.
Also, if you can donate to CineCave, please do, because I have heard that they're
having a hard time.
A little bit in trouble. So if you love movies and even if you don't live in San Francisco, maybe throw a couple dollars to CineCave.
Yeah. I mean, hard to believe that a used VHS rental store.
They have DVDs.
Would be having a hard time.
They also have
this. I'm not down on the place. I think it's awesome. I'm saying I think we're the problem.
I think.
With our flexing of nets.
They also have the cutest little porn section I've ever seen.
Is that right?
It's just a shelf with like little glittery, you know.
Tinsel?
Porn?
Tinsel, thank you. Glittery
with
porn.
Like little glittery
porn?
On the shelf as though there's like a cum. Oh, come on. Glitter.
How many mirrors in that room? I want to go into a porn room.
Zero.
A lot of mirrors.
It's not a room.
No,
it's
really
just
look at.
It's San Francisco.
Really?
You have to hide your shit.
Really?
That's what's so great about
it. The streets are just lined with porn.
I also want to take a minute right now and thank the people that. Now, I was just in New York and then I went straight to Seattle. Which, agreed, is a weird choice to fly from Los Angeles to New York and then to Seattle. Those are not on the way to each other. But many people came out and said hi to me after shows. So thank you so much. Ooh, a listener that brought me, you remember the listener that brought me a 3D printed Terminator skull with a side mullet on it?
Yeah, yeah.
She brought us 3D printed brass knuckles that say WBP.
Oh, and you're
I
left kidding
them
at home. What?
But I will bring them to you guys because she's really into 3D printing. She's bought her own and she brings treats to every show that she goes to. So what's up? We're into that. Always do that. I also just as an early heads up, if you live in Montreal, if you live in Montreal, I will be there on July 24th through the 26th or 7th. For the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival, and I will also be in Madison, Wisconsin from July 31st to August 2nd at the Comedy Club on State. So if you're a listener and you live in either of those regions, number one, you might be French, and number two, you might be Midwestern. So see you there, and we will be back with news, reviews, things you can use right after this.
Poutine.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, they drown him in that shit.
Yeah, Vladimir Poutine. It's Vladimir Putin, but just covered in cheese. Yeah. Let's just have that be when we came back. Is that okay?
Mayonnaise.
Include all that. Lindsay, our producer, she's just always does the right thing. You know what else I wanted to mention was that you guys did an episode without me. Beautiful job.
Oh, thank you.
Beautiful
thank
job.
You.
Beautiful
thank
job.
You.
Beautiful job.
We chatted it up.
Beautiful we did.
Job.
We talked
you
about
guys
Pulp Fiction.
Talk the
beautiful
shit about
minds.
It.
Oh, thank
you. Oh, come on now.
A couple of Russell Crowes.
Oh,
just a
come
few
on.
Russell Brands over here.
A dash of Ron Howard and a touch of Jennifer Connelly.
Mm. Absolutely.
Maybe a little bit of Ed Harris.
And did you ask any of our listeners of our wonderful listeners to please go on to iTunes and leave us a review.
You know what? I think I forgot to do that.
Well, I'm not putting it on you. I don't even think I asked you to do that. I'm just saying.
I did it with my spirit.
Yes.
I don't know if I actually typed it out or verbally said it.
I know you love the show. There's so many wonderful listeners, and we could use all the reviews we can use.
Great job.
I rhymed with you. Yeah. Like Eminem or something. Mm-hmm. What am I, Eminem? What am I, an Eminem?
Come on.
What am I, the yellow Eminem? What am I, that brown Eminem, the sexy one?
That's the green one.
Oh, God dang it.
You're right.
So today on the show, we've got news, we've got a brand new Pitch It, and we've got a review of World War Z, which is available right now on Netflix. Watch instant now. Early spoiler, I would actually recommend watching it. I enjoyed it. So if you haven't seen it, I would check it out. But first, let's start with some movie news. Now, this is a weird time for movie news, I guess the summer. There's just like not that much going on. So you guys, I dug. But like,
exception of Star Wars, that's basically.
Yeah, I mean,
Is there something going on with Star Wars?
Harrison Ford still hurt his ankle.
Yes, what? And Kevin Smith like posted an Instagram selfie of him like with a thumbs up and tearful eyes.
Yeah, I saw that.
After visiting the set, because he's of course signed a, you know, non-disclosure agreement, and he's not allowed to talk about it.
Well, I watched of the first season of Girls, so that's kind of like
basically the same
set of Star Wars.
Pretty much the same.
What with Adam, whatever the heck his last name is, being in that. I also went to The Gap. Remember when he was modeling for that? Okay, sorry. Now, I have predicted this. Both of the two things I'm going to bring up first. That's a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Are things I have predicted. Number one, on this show, did I not predict that we would make Bible stories? Did I not predict it? Did I not predict that we would make Bible stories?
You predicted it.
I predicted
it. As though you were a prophet from said Bible.
From the mm-hmm. Bible.
What are you, Ruth?
I might be 500 years old. my father's father, and then his son begat that.
Can I perhaps guess that you're going to talk about Moses?
I'm not going to talk about
Moses. Oh, okay.
Wait, you mean the topic of Moses? Yes.
Yes.
I'm talking about the topic of Moses.
The topic of Moses.
Do you know why I'm talking about the topic of Moses?
Because they're making a movie about Moses.
Who's making it?
I just read
Ridley
it.
Scott.
Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott. Ridley Scott is making Exodus, Gods and Kings. It is going to star Christian Bale and,
right. Yes.
Wait for it. Sigourney Weaver will be in this movie. Sigourney Weaver and I saw.
Is she playing
a still?
The Red Sea?
She is playing anything she wants, girl. I think she's Cleopatra.
Oh, you're kidding.
Or like some.
Is she going to be dressed like.
I don't know if Cleopatra
Zool?
Was actually. Those aren't concurrent things, but
I don't know.
Has like. Julie, she has
yeah,
like
I saw a
Julie
picture of her
headband.
Like, yeah, she had like gold.
Not Julie.
Dress.
I mean, like not
Julie
I just
Goldman.
Like
Julie. Headband.
Like Julie.
Yeah,
a Julie Goldman headband.
She's like Judy Garland sitting on her head. And
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
You know, that's uncomfortable because she's not alive anymore. No. She's wearing a headdress full of jewels, and it's unbelievable. So, Ridley Scott taking on the Bible now. This isn't that big of a shock because if you saw Prometheus, a lot of religious undertones.
I was going to say,
I almost feel like that's like a prequel for him, you know, getting into. Now he's just like, you know what? Remember before when there was like aliens and stuff? Let's just go to the source. Will you guys see that movie? Will you see Ridley Scott?
Based on the pictures that I saw where it's like Christian Bale looking all pissed off and like stabbing at people with like this huge like javelin thing and like punching at people, I don't know if I want to see action Moses. I'm not really into.
I do have a hard time with Christian Bale, you know?
Like, just in general?
I used to really like him, but it's like, it's just, I know he's going to do Batman voice.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would want to see
it's
a Batman
tough
Moses.
When the American Psycho Christian Bale, which, by the way, I have only seen in clips because I can't watch the full thing because it would scare me too much. But it is sad that that person became Batman.
Yes.
Christian
also,
Bale.
The Velvet Under.
Oh, you think it's sad?
Velvet
it's
under.
Great.
Well, only because I think he jumped the shark a little bit for me.
He jumped the bat.
Yeah. The bat was so high, so he jumped. He jumped pretty high.
Yeah.
Because that voice is OOC, as the kids say.
The bat voice is not good. Not crazy about the bat voice.
I only felt like his voice sounded moderately okay to me in relief against Bane. Like, it was only when I saw Bane that I was like, oh, this is the less the less hubris.
The less, yeah.
Yeah.
The Bane voice is terrible. Now, I will watch fucking Moses with a Batman mask whoop that ass. I'm into that movie.
Bat
that
Moses.
I'm all over.
I'll watch Bat Moses.
I just always, whenever I was watching that, I waited so long to see whatever that one is that has Bane
Rises.
In it.
Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah. Dark Knight Rises,
I was like, he can rise wherever. And I'm not coming to it. And... when I was watching the whole thing, I kept thinking about the Beowulf trailer. I talk about the movie Beowulf all the time. I talk because I this trailer was on ceaselessly, and I just remember the line like, "Are you the one they call Beowulf?" It's like so overwrought for television placement, you know, because it would be like, "Coming up next on American Idol, are you the one they call Beowulf?" And that's like how I felt about Bane the entire time, was just like, he was a Beowulf trailer.
Leaving a voicemail.
Of American Idol.
Like setting up his voicemail outbox.
Are you the one they call Beowulf?
Leave a message for Beowulf at the...
Bane.
That's not bad. All right, so speaking of... Now, this is another thing I have predicted. Fairy tales. I said fairy tales. That's the future. I said Bible and fairy tales. That's where we're going. By the way, the Bible, also a fairy tale.
You said Bible. And were you talking about the end of the world when this was happening?
I was saying I think that as soon as they step away from superhero movies just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing they're going to look at, because of what's going on in terms of this country right now, you know, we want like nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
So they're making a lot of these live action movies that we grew up on, these like Disney-ified live action tough people. But then also we're in this nouveau religious conservative period where, you know, birth control can't happen for Hobby Lobby employees.
Yes.
And also you have to watch Tough Moses beat up on people. So anyway, this is all to lead up to say Snow White and the Huntsman. Did you see the first one?
I did not.
Yeah,
I'm shocked.
I skipped it. I was into it for about 20 minutes.
I think I saw it in the theater, but like a second run theater.
Yeah, you saw it at the Logan.
I saw it with Chicago comic Adam Burke.
There you go.
One of my favorite people to see a movie with.
He's a great person to see a movie with.
But Snow White and the Huntsman 2 is on deck. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you who's going to direct it. Frank Darabont. Now,
that's
this
insane.
Is only interesting to me because now he's like from Shawshank. But he also, the last thing he did is develop The Walking Dead and then be kind of ushered out of there.
That's putting it mildly.
Right this way, Mr. Darabont.
Yeah, he ushered with a stick. This is his next. This is next thing that he's jumping to. What do you guys think about that?
Man, this is 0-2 on movie. Like,
I mean, are you okay? I didn't mean to break that.
it's all right.
You know you're going on the road. I don't want you to.
No,
I don't want
right.
you to leave feeling sad.
I will carry this burden on me. Not. I mean, the first one. I'm actually surprised that they're making a fucking second one to it. Did the first one make money?
I don't think it did very well.
I thought it was like a flop, and everybody was making fun of it.
I would totally agree with you. It's very strange to me that they're making a sequel to this movie.
Well, I mean, at this point, we'll make sequels to anything.
Sure.
Like that's also part of the world that we live in, where it's just like. I mean, it didn't do well, but also, like, it already exists.
People are familiar with it. So that's what's really bizarre to me in, like, the current climate of movies is that we're only making things that already exist. Because we were talking about War Games, the War Games remake that's coming out. That it just, like, just write something. There's like a million. How many stories have been written that you haven't made yet?
I don't think the problem is with the writing, though. Right? I think there's a million scripts out there that are probably amazing. I think the problem is inflated budgets.
Absolutely,
you know? Massively inflated budgets. So I think we talked about this on the show as well. But now movies are too big to fail. You know, we're in a time of the J.P. Morgan of film. Like every...
Yeah, it's like the new stock exchange,
we just have
basically.
To prop these movies up and give them a bailout because otherwise... You know, that's what's happened studio-wise. Every studio is competing with the other massive releases that the other studios are doing.
How long do you think it's going to take for a movie to make $1 billion?
Well, you know what? Let's talk about that in just a second.
Sounds good.
Because, so the final thing I want to just say is I just want to give a shout-out. Now, I am not going to go see this movie, but I want to give a shout-out to this summer's little alien for kids movie, Earth to Echo. And here's why I want to give a shout out to it. because we grew up watching, you know, robot alien movies. And I think when we grew up, we've talked about this on the show before as well, where like movies weren't necessarily made for kids. We were kids and we watched movies. So this is obviously like a pretty Disney version of a film.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I guess it's not that big of a difference between like Flight of the Navigator
Flight
or
of the
Mac
Navigators.
And Me.
Absolutely.
Oh,
well,
Mac and Me.
Let's put a little higher than
yeah,
Mac
exactly,
and Me.
Exactly. Mac and Me.
Just a touch.
I loved
the
Mac
barrel.
And Me.
Oh my goodness
Oof.
Gracious.
But I just want to say what's up to Earth to Echo. I'm happy that they are introducing those kinds of things to kids. And I think it opens this weekend, and I'm sure that it will do very well on the 4th of July release. It doesn't really have a lot of big competition. So that's it gives me hope.
You know, I totally agree. I felt the same way. When I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, this looks so bad. And then I realized, no, it has a purpose. And it's great to see sci-fi happening for kids still. Or, like, there's a movie for kids, period. It could have more ladies in it. It could have more girl kids in it. But, hey, I'm glad it's still happening.
Yeah.
And it's not just all murder and violence and stuff. That there's still that tradition
and
happening
they seem to be
of
protecting
like,
the guy, and
yeah,
the guy seems to be like a
like
peaceful
a cute
thing.
Alien yeah. and a nice story and some tears probably in the third act, and then it gets resolved.
Yeah,
man, fuck that movie. Kids, go see Sin City 2. kids, go see.
What is it called? Sin City 2. Bitch slap.
Sin City 2. Right. Bitch, where's my money? Go see that.
I'm killing all of the women. I think that's what this.
Well, So if you're a listener and you're going to go see Earth to Echo, best of luck. We are moderately with you in spirit. We will be back with a brand new picture right after this.
Justin, what are you doing?
Strapping a chicken to my arm. Heard there's some plague out west, so I just wanted to, you know, kind of get out ahead of it.
Justin, if you'd ever listened to our medical history podcast, Sawbones, where we talk about everything from trepanation to bloodletting, you would know that that is a ridiculous idea and it will never work.
I haven't caught it. Sawbones?
Yes, it's every Friday on the Maximum Fun Network and we record it together.
You need a doctor or something?
Yes!
So welcome back to a brand new Pitch It. Now, of course, I am a film executive, and I bring in these two underlings, these two little, it's like you're like a little, you're like the balls on the
oh,
me
come on
of
now.
The situation. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, if I'm the me, you're the balls. You're like two little balls dangling.
That's
hanging low down here.
So
hanging
yeah,
low.
And it's warm, it protective.
That's not a thing I've ever wanted to be.
Comfortable for, you know, I scratched you.
Not even metaphorically.
But now on today's show, we are talking about World War Z. I'm sure you guys read up, but maybe you didn't. So allow me to blow your minds. I hope you don't know this yet. Do you guys know this is the best? This film, this is the biggest hit of Brad Pitt's career.
I do.
World War Z.
I was aware of that.
$500 million at the box office worldwide. That is the biggest grossing film of his career.
Cash
and
money.
Rhea, that's why when you said how long till a billion, just two Brad Pitts.
Not,
I think it's just like one of his twins. When his twins make a movie, there you yeah. go. That's a billion.
Right.
Movie has made $1 billion yet?
I don't know the answer to that.
I just threw that out there with no research, so sorry, guys.
You mean opening weekend. You're talking about like...
Yeah, that's right. Well,
on
I just...
Friday.
You're talking about when they're like, oh, this film only made $7 billion, it's a flop.
I don't think a movie has made $1 billion in its theater run. I
Maybe
don't
not
think
not
that's
the
happened.
I think probably, you know, in terms
as
of...
As a franchise.
We'll look this up. I'm sorry. Let's not even speculate. People are going to lose their minds. People are going to be taping into their things. We'll look it up. We'll get back to you. I apologize in advance for all the frustration and fumes that are coming out of your ears. My point is, Brad Pitt, A River Runs Through It, Thelma and Louise, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, that one where he's very jacked. What's that one? Troy or Tron?
Troy.
Who is he? He's big.
Troy.
And, also, everything else he's ever been in. One of our biggest movie stars, I would say, in terms of people that have worldwide recognizability, American movie stars, I think we're talking about Tom Cruise, Angelina Jolie, and Brad Pitt, tied for second. I think they are a power couple that are tied for second. So it is wild to me that that company, that those two, that this is his movie because it flopped. domestically. This didn't do well. This wasn't well reviewed. And this is his biggest movie. So I asked you guys to please come in and bring a new genre and character that Brad Pitt can take on. Because at this point, anything could happen. Go, Rhea.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Brad Pitt has been in a ton of different kinds of movies. One film genre that I don't think we've seen him really sink his Brad Pitt teeth into.
Beautiful teeth.
Yeah, beautiful teeth, not so much the cheeks, is the genre of film noir.
Ooh.
So I thought that we could get the Coen brothers to direct, Brad Pitt to star, Catherine Keener to co-star, and Harry Dean Stanton is the villain who just always rides around on a tractor in Johnny Suede 2. This time it's a jacket.
Oh, I was wondering if you were going to say Cool World.
Nope. Johnny Suede 2. This time it's a jacket.
Wow. Okay, I really like where you're going with that. Now, is his hair pomped?
His hair
is... He's been wearing his hair long for a bit now.
Immaculately pomped. If you're not aware of the Johnny Suede universe and his existence within it, his hair is about 2 to 3 feet tall.
We've maybe only ever seen it that tall in Burn After Reading.
Correct. Mm. It's taller in Johnny Suede.
I know it is.
He
but I'm
barely
say
fits
it's
in a telephone
2X
booth.
Burn After Readings.
Yes.
That's
and then Tom Waits would do the soundtrack. Of
wow.
Course.
Oh, so. Okay. I love that submission.
Yeah.
Actually, Rhea, you're right now leading the pack.
Thank you.
You versus nobody else.
Me versus no one that's gone yet.
Now, Ricky.
Hello.
What'd you bring in?
So good to be here as one of your... balls. Just wanted to mention that again.
I've never felt happier to have biracial balls.
Here's what I would love to do for this Brad Pitch it.
Oh!
Hey!
He wins! Ricky wins!
Woohoo!
Well, that was a great pitch it.
Thank you. Now, I'll talk about this as well further in the, when we talk about World War Z. I don't think Brad Pitt is a leading man.
Oof.
I think he does better when he's in an ensemble. So I would like to see him in an ensemble. I mean, think of like Inglourious Basterds, Babel.
I understand what you're
cool
saying.
Cool World.
When he's popped in,
yeah.
That's a position of strength.
Absolutely.
I don't
Absolutely.
Disagree with you at all.
So I would love to see him... in a 70s kind of spy thriller, something. I want to see Brad Pitt in sunglasses and turtlenecks handling shit, directed by like David Fincher maybe. I also feel like he's a guy, he needs the right director. If he doesn't have the right director, he just looks fucking lost in a movie. And I think is it his muse or is David Fincher's muse? They need to muse each other and make a movie, David Fincher and Brad Pitt. I want a 70s spy fucking badass. Maybe him and like McConaughey and like. Yeah.
Let me throw this out at you. What if we merge these movies? What if it's a noir 70s turtleneck movie?
What?
All right. Can the turtleneck be suede?
Yes!
I'm into that.
I'm not I'm saying I don't like your movie. I'm just saying I like both of these movies so much.
Absolutely.
I want him to be lit with shadow.
Yeah.
I just also want him to have his neck covered.
I want him to speak on rooftops, but I want him to have a pompadour.
Yeah,
and I just
exactly.
want to emphasize that the turtleneck has to be suede. And by suede, I mean it's all the leather, and also the turtleneck can be convinced either way.
No, yep. I want to see him in like a white, just a white, like an off-white, like a cream.
Like Robert Redford, 3 Day of the Condor type fucking,
yeah.
You know, he's got like cool, he's got like cardigans and shit.
See. Leaning on a desk like all the president's men.
Yes.
Boom.
Ricky, Boom. Do you have a soundtrack?
I do have a soundtrack. I'd like to say it's a soundtrack by the RZA. Thank you,
the
Wu-Tang
RZA.
Clan, for fucking figuring out your problems as well.
Great
and
job.
Coming back together. The Wu is good. The force is strong with the Woo, so that's what's up.
Oh,
soundtrack by The RZA.
Great job, Woo.
Honestly, I like what both of you have done so much, and I'm going to request that you work together to develop a new combo pitch based on this. And I don't mean, I don't want to do it on the show.
Okay.
I want you to come to my house while I'm sleeping. I'm going to give you my address. You come in the middle of the night, and I want you to wake me up. It's kind of like The Purge, the movie The Purge, where you don't kill me. You, you know, just ambush me.
Pitch you.
With good ideas. Because I think what both of you brought in is amazing. And there's some beautiful overlap there.
And Tom Waits has a history of working with the Wu-Tang.
I like Tom Waits in
there as well.
We're even
fitting
solid,
on our soundtrack
solid.
Pitches. So.
Wow. That's right.
Well, I loved those. Congratulations to both of you on working together. I know you, you know, individually are not necessarily capable.
Totally.
Of, you know, carrying things. It's just nice, you know, when a buddy can.
Like, as though we were two balls contained in one.
I'm going to put
of
you in a sack.
Hammock.
We're glad
kind of
we could be so dependable balls.
We will be back with a review of World War Z right after this.
Sergio Diaz plays in a band called Os Mutantes. His life was changed the first time he heard Elvis Presley.
The great thing in the world, it is to discover. I mean, there's nothing better.
I'm Jesse Thorne. My show Bullseye is about discovery. We help you find the best music, the best movies, the best books, and we talk to the people who make them. It's Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
Welcome back. And now is the time of the show we give you a brief review of a dick flick. Now, this week we chose World War Z, which is currently available on Netflix. Netflix? You won't fix that net.
I got that Netflix.
Oh, it's available on Netflix. Watch instant. And also, just a heads up, spoilers do follow. We're going to talk about the movie in depth. So if you haven't seen it and you don't want to be spoiled, just pause the movie right here. The movie? The
podcast.
Show. Pause the show. Put the watch. The, listen to the podcast and watch the movie at the same time. It'll be confusing. all right. We'll still be here and we love you. Now, this movie, this actually surprised me. I missed this in the theater. I didn't care about it. I thought it would be too scary for me. Actually, guys, great news. I weren't scared at all.
Look at you.
This is my kind of zombies. They run around. They're fast and they're not really decaying that much.
Nah.
I know a lot of people were upset that that's the kind of zombies there, but that's the only kind of zombies I can handle. All right, so real quick, zombies in this, Rhea, yay or nay?
Did I like them?
Yeah.
I honestly am 50%. I couldn't say that I like them or don't like them.
They're a very different type of zombie. They're more, it's whatever has affected them has turned them into kind of packs of animals that move in a very quick, I would say like wave-like way through cities. And so it's very different than the lurching hands out in front of you or even the Walking Dead model of like kind of slowly grabbing.
I would say,
like a running of the bulls type thing when they come through.
That's a great way of thinking
about it. They
really
come through like in a force like that.
Ricky, what did you think about the zombies?
I was kind of indifferent to them. They didn't feel... They reminded me of the 28 Days Later zombie. Here's what it was. I felt like this is the new zombie in movies now. The new zombie in movies runs fast. And he fucking makes... And he spits out black blood. That's what happens with zombies now. It's no longer like the slow zombie or the Walking Dead zombies. It's this fucking fast thing that you got to watch out for.
You know, I think there's a reason for that. And this is what I was saying to Rhea. And tell me if you think this makes sense to you. In the last couple of years, we've been dealing with so many natural disasters that spread very quickly and in like a very thorough way. You know, I'm talking about like Katrina, you know, massive hurricanes and a lot of like water spreading. And what I was thinking about the imagery of the zombies in here was that it was really like a replicating a natural disaster. In a way that, like, in the 50s, when we would have introduced zombies, it would have been like, what about the spread of disease and how, you know, kind of slow and deliberate disease could spread then versus now where we're used to this more like kind of wildfire effect, not just in disease, but also just in the way our cities get wiped out. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think it's like a day after tomorrow effect, mm-hmm. where, like, we all saw that movie and it's just like, remember how cities can get destroyed in every way? I feel like that's how zombies are now interpreted.
That's interesting.
It's from that.
I totally agree. Visually, I think that's, I also think the speed thing is interesting because I feel as though original zombies were sort of a metaphor for the dumbing down of culture. In certain instances, like, they've been used for materialism, which is, like, why, oh, you look like a zombie. You're, like, walking around that, you know, like, television makes you a zombie, like, all that stuff. So to me, like, that
so
just...
So, like, not participating in life, sort of.
Right. Yeah. You're just, like, floating around, not paying attention. So it makes sense that now that we have cell phones and instant news and, like, everything is super fast, of course the zombies are running around.
The worst thing we can be now is fast.
Yeah. Because, like, everybody's just like, what? Huh? What? Where am I going? What do I need to do?
That's pretty
like,
that's
all the time.
That's
so
pretty brilliant.
Okay. Now the zombies are doing
yeah.
that,
I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a different. I think you're right, Ricky. That you know we are seeing a whole different breed of bad guy. You know, it's like it's a very different feel. And also, there's a bit of a Bourne effect here. You know, like a Bourne Identity effect, where it's like now we watch movies where it just goes. Like you just start the movie starts. And then it just goes.
Yeah. Like Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Edge of Tomorrow.
How fast
I would
those
even say, like,
aliens
Gravity, you know, yeah. And that's a slow movie that still has it's just one solid trajectory, which I think is something that really the Bourne Identity in my mind stands out as, like, you know, turning that effect on in our movies. But
that was part of the problem that I had with this movie is that I feel like it does start to go and then it stops. And then it starts to go again.
I totally
and then
agree
it
with
stops.
You.
And it just get like it starts off at a really good pace, slows down, just gets going again, and then everything just turns like into these jagged little
location
ideas. And by the end of the movie, I was just like, "What the? Do you guys even know what story you're telling anymore?"
Well,
I agree with you.
I agree that it is disjointed. It was hard to figure out where he was sometimes, yeah. and who he's talking to, and how he
I
got
have
there.
A lot of
how
questions, guys. A lot
to talk
of
to them.
Questions.
So yeah, all right, we will cover that in just a second. But just to start out, now this is directed by Mark Forster, which he did Monsters Ball, Finding Neverland, and Quantum of Solace. So that actually surprised me, just because I hadn't read anything about this movie and I hadn't seen it at all. I didn't realize that was the guy, like that, you know, the Finding Neverland
yeah.
guy. Was the guy who made this. Okay, interesting. It also stars Brad Pitt and Muriel Enos as the wife who doesn't get to do anything. And also Daniela...
She calls.
Kirstjes as the chick who gets her arm chopped off. Now, there is a great female soldier that I think, like, does kind of help him a lot. But, you know, she again is kind of joins up with him almost at the end of the movie. So it's really Brad Pitt's show.
Yeah.
I didn't even name, like, the extraneous actors that are in here. Because it's the Brad Pitt movie. I mean, there's, like, digital...
They don't even really... There's not even any noticeable, recognizable character actors in this movie.
Which I think they did on purpose. I mean, there's a couple...
Except near the end when they get to the
thing. Yeah, there's a couple small...
I don't know if it was... Because I know there's a lot of rewrites at this towards the end. But when they get... When his family gets asked to leave the ship... Did you guys see who that is that's asking them to leave the ship? It's Matthew Fox from Lost. It's Jack from Lost.
Wow.
Oh,
and
yes.
I was like,
you're right.
Well, why is he just showing up and then,
for
like,
nothing.
There had to be, like, some scenes there. Everything on
oh,
that boat.
Wait,
seems
you know what?
So
yeah, you're right.
I will tell
me.
You
that
there
that.
Is a like, cut. There is a cut portion of this film where she has an affair. Now,
oh, really? Right.
Yeah, I saw
I am
that.
Not saying that. I don't know. But I would wonder
if
that's who
that,
she has
that
would
make
that's
sense.
That's insane.
That
sense. So this movie got planes, trains, and automobiled.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the final thing I want to say before we really get into chatting about this is that this movie is also produced by Plan B, which, of course, is Brad Pitt's production company. He started it with Jennifer Aniston and another partner.
How ironic.
All of those partnerships dissolved. He is the sole owner of that production company, and that... What is interesting is, you know, when an actor, at some point you have to just produce your own movies because that's how you keep the control and the money and all the things in-house. But so he's done Troy and A Mighty Heart. Huh. You know who's in that movie? It's his wife. and the assassination of Jesse James.
Great movie.
Sorry.
That's, it's a great movie.
And he did Tree of Life and Moneyball.
I love Tree of Life.
He also, Plan B also was a producer on 12 Years a Slave and The Normal Heart right now. And I think he has one of the more recognizable production companies for an actor. You know, he's obviously producing his own movies. Like, I knew that before I read about it.
Honestly, when I first saw when I saw it in the theater, and then when I watched it again on Netflix, and the first thing you see is Plan B, and that fucking like music kicks in, I honestly thought like, oh shit, this is the beginning of the movie, and this movie is going to be about our Plan B option of how we handle this, and then 14 more fucking production company names.
It's also hilarious to accidentally name your production company off of something that after something that suddenly becomes a contraceptive. Whoopsie-daisy.
Whoopsie-daisy.
He didn't know at the time.
Yep.
All right, so what's the general outline of this? A UN employee races across the globe to try and cure a zombie outbreak. Who's the UN employee? That's right, it's Brad Pitt. Now, Rhea, let's start with this. What is the worst part of this movie for you?
There are quite a few worst parts of this movie, but if I had to specify something... it's actually a bit of a generalization, but I felt it the most in this film that I have always had a hard time with zombie movies because they feel like acceptable genocide. It feels like a movie that humans, and maybe we just need that. Maybe we need the catharsis of killing human-like beings with zero to no remorse. I like the movie 28 Days Later because it feels like remorse and they're our interactions with the zombies of like, oh, this used to be somebody. Same thing with The Walking Dead. People keep the zombies, try to, all that stuff. So in this movie, especially because like what you were talking about, Cameron, where it like spreads across countries, it just feels a little bit like, I mean, it's called World War, and it feels like we are watching people being murdered. And it's like, okay, because it's zombies.
Hmm.
So that's the hardest thing for me to get over in this movie because I was like into it and then I realized like these are people like they're zombies and they have diseases and stuff. But since they're trying to make it a realistic portrayal, it's almost even worse because then I start thinking of like real life diseases. And then if we were just murdering people because they had bad diseases, you know, that's how I feel about
That's interesting. Well, I also know that you're a vegetarian.
Yes.
From knowing you. And I thought that it was interesting. There's one interspliced, or maybe it happens a couple times, but it's not throughout the whole movie. It's like right as they're about to introduce the zombies, they show a bunch of like hyenas or something like that. They show animals like hunting their prey. And the kind of like this in this very like indiscriminate, pretty soulless way. And then they show the people. So I think that what they're trying to say is like we're animals. Of course, if you were an animal lover, that might be hard to swallow. Like we're animals, but we still shouldn't be killed.
For sure.
But I do think that they like tried very overtly to make that comparison.
Sure.
Now again,
it's just
should we kill all animals?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, we're probably gonna. I would say my second
hearted.
My runner-up is the fact that the wife is just there to ask questions. That drives me crazy.
Sure. Now, Ricky, what's the worst part of this movie for you?
I have a list here, and you just you just
I'll cut you off.
Thank you. The music in this movie. What's going on? Sometimes it's like this weird electro techno thing, or it's like that imitation Inception music that they still... Bam. That opening credit sequence where we're just seeing images of shit. What is that?
People, hyenas, thing.
What is that telling us
Eyeball.
That has to do with the story? Nada. What's his job? Everybody at one point says exactly what they do. He calls somebody, tell them what you do so they can believe me. And then whenever they talk about Brad Pitt's job, they're just like, we know you worked for the UN. Doing what, dude? Doing what? What did you do? Nobody ever says, I'm the guy. He says, I go to countries.
It's a One Last Score movie. Because he's like, no, I'm not going back in. It's like a One Last Score movie where he's like, no, I'll never go back.
I did not go back
to the UN.
I believe that him and his wife, I believe you guys are having trouble. Like, how the fuck did you even get married to begin with? There was no chemistry there. They're building a wall in Israel and nobody knew that wall was there. Is that wall just like brand new out of nowhere? I was like, what the fuck? How come nobody
mentioned
this wall?
Well, I mean, as you know, Israel, not a hugely disputed territory.
Nobody pays attention to Israel
whatsoever. It's not like people travel there, at a certain age or anything.
There's also no political conflict or current wars going on. So
there's this really cool moment.
Zoom a wall right in.
That wall is very well built too.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know
beautiful.
How much time has happened between the zombie invasion, but that wall is fucking solid. You know?
Solid wall.
There's a one point where they're on the boat. The pacing in this movie is really fucked up. They're on the boat and you just keep jumping around different conversations. We don't know what's happening. Russia just went down. And then you see a guy walk by with the Constitution, in these picture frames. Man, I would love to see how the fucking Constitution got there. What happened? Instead, I've just been on this boat, and they're fucking going over this phone. And hey, make sure you call me on the phone. Who gives a fuck about that phone, man? The rest of the world is falling apart. I don't give a shit about how you two are going to communicate with each other.
Well, Ricky, I do want to say I think my worst parts are very similar to yours, which is just it is unclear what Brad Pitt's specific skill is or why he's good at figuring out how to save the world. I mean, eventually he's just smart, but it's weird that people trust him to that point. He either has to be somebody who just figures it out on his own or somebody who's justified to have the level of access that he has to everything. But he's neither. He's in for no reason that makes any sense. And I will say also that is one reason that doesn't really make any sense. What's going on with him and his wife? He doesn't really need to be married. The character that they're portraying, this kind of brave, world weary, has seen everything, is unsurprised by everything, is almost more of an Indiana Jones type. You know, he's the eternal bachelor type, you know?
It doesn't make any, the kids are completely wasted.
Yeah, totally.
You know,
either drunk.
It's just there.
There's a lot of drunk.
I feel like it's just there so you can relate and feel like, oh yes, he's a family man. I need to.
Yeah.
Do you guys know about the book? Yeah. Well, how the book is written and the way, it's fucking. There's your movie right there. The book is all one person accounts from different parts of the world, their initial zombie outbreak.
Sounds like a great movie.
I would rather fucking see that movie 100% than Brad Pitt going around.
But then you'd have to have non-white people in major roles,
then
it would be funded by confusing.
Plan B. Although this was won in an enormous bidding war, so they paid a lot of money for this script. All right, so what is the best part of this movie, Rhea?
Let's see. My best part, actually, it's some specific things. And first, I'll see if I can remember the second one because it just came up in my head as we were talking. I just love the idea. In this movie, when he's speaking with the guy in Israel, whose name I don't recall. First off, when he gives the history of Israel, and then he's like, so, we learned from our mistake. I just love that idea.
They built a wall because
no country would ever do that.
Things had happened
in the modern
to them in the past.
Yes, exactly. But I loved that they used the word zombie in it, and that it was in a communique that they've intercepted, and that's it. That's what I loved about it, that was dropped in.
It was in the world that we live in.
Exactly.
In the future.
In the world
where
that they
already
built,
know what zombies
which is very
are.
Realistic. And then they were like, oh, somebody said zombie. It was an interesting meta layer that I perked up as I was watching it because I really was not paying much attention to it because it wasn't keeping my attention because the pacing was so bad. But when he said that, I was like, oh, that's fascinating to think of, because so many zombie movies, at least recent contemporary movies from, the 90s and on, don't use that word because that's the thing. They're like, no, that's not what this is. It's this problem.
What is this thing?
They call them walkers, or I can't remember what they call them in 28 Days Later, but they don't call them zombies.
I think they call them dayers.
Yeah, dayers.
28ers. 28ers.
Yeah. Anyway,
28 year olds. By the way, if you ever hung out with 28-year-olds, the fucking worst.
Like, bite
you in the face.
No,
that was pretty much
them.
It.
Ricky, what about you? What's the best part?
That set piece where they're on the plane. And that's great. I love any situation
terrifying
where we're not gonna make it. I'm all in. You know, there's like that shot where they're on the plane, and I'm like, man, they're not gonna fucking make it. You know, that's great. There's a shot where you just see like a bunch of military people with like their head down, like they're out of options. They don't know. I like when the movie shows us that world of like. Man, we don't know what the fuck we're going to do right now. That was great. That opening sequence, too, when they're, like, on the streets of Philadelphia and you just see where the outbreak happens.
Yeah.
I love that it's during the day so you can actually see what's going on.
The cars have stopped and, you know, there's a rushing through the streets that's, I think, very effective.
Yeah, yeah. I love that explosion that just goes out. Like, that's one of the times where when you see shit happening in the background and you don't know what's going on, it really does heighten the tension of, like, shit, things are insane right now.
That moment where the cop is like, "Stay in your car,"
yeah,
and then he just gets blown away by whatever.
And I had the opposite reaction, Rhea, that you did with watching like zombies. Like zombies are like Nazis to me. Do the fucking worst thing you can to them. When they were like chasing Brad Pitt off like that top of that house. Or like a apartment complex, and they're like jumping on the helicopter, trying to catch the helicopter, and like falling over. I was like, oh, cool. That's like a new. I haven't seen zombies do that in movies where they're just throwing themselves. They just have no concept of like.
And turning into a chain. And when they took down the helicopter later, that's pretty
really
great
cool.
too.
Because
the helicopter's just like, oh no, poof.
The piling effects, which I know was one of the biggest things that was revealed in the trailer, was the idea that they would kind of swarm like ants, you know, just crawling on top of each other. And I think that is very effective and new, still very cool to see. I would say that my best part is just, I actually thought it was fun. Like, I know this is a really serious movie, but I actually just thought, like, a lot of you guys know that I love to see things I haven't seen before, so I can't really watch zombie movies. And so for me, watching, like, fast zombies and watching things spread like that and watching all the different ways that they got in everywhere, I thought that was really effective because it wasn't like a tension thing. And I can't always take tension movies. It was just like, fuck! And I love that. That's very like, I mean, I guess Alien has a lot of tension, but the idea that it's just like, it's all around, like, how are you, like you were saying, Ricky, because at that point, the Earth becomes the ship. You know what I mean? You can't get off the Earth.
Right.
What are we going to do? I mean, they go to the middle of the water. That's moderately effective, you know, but like other than
eventually that won't work.
Yeah. So I liked it way more than I expected. I expected zero, and I watched it and I was like, oh, that was awesome. Yeah. I thought it was great. I didn't like love all the characters, but I just thought like as a joyride, it was pretty fun. So that's me. All right. So Rhea, on a scale of 1 to 5 chopped off hands, how many hands that are chopped off do you give World War Z?
I give it 2¾ hands that are chopped off. So 2.75.
Very precise.
Thanks.
precise chopping.
Yep. Slicey.
It's a plastic surgeon. Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5 slow zombies or fast zombies, whichever is your favorite, how many slow zombies or fast zombies do you give World War Z?
I like a slow, confident zombie. I will give it...
A man with a slow hand?
I will give it 1.5.
Wow.
Ooh, going low. Ricky, going low.
That surprises me. You know what? I'm not sad about it. I guess I was thinking, here's what I would give this movie. Honestly, like, now here's the thing. I know this isn't a good movie. I'm talking about in terms of watching people running with their mouths open. Let's say you don't have ESPN. You didn't get to catch any of the World Cup. You want to hear some snapping. They did a lot of really nice miking and Foley on the tooth snappies. Wow, that was good too, Rhea.
That was good right there. Nice.
Yeah, when the zombies got slow because they didn't have any stimuli.
I'm pretty good at zombie noises.
That's good. That's solid.
Don't ever do that.
Cheese whiz.
If you go home, zombie noises. I will say this. If we go home and you do that.
I'll never do that.
I will kill you.
I know you will. I never do
we
that.
We don't have a gun, but I will take whatever we
you
have
will kill
to
me with our dog.
Chopstick.
Yeah, how come Rhea's not here this week? She did the old zombie noise and got home.
She doesn't. Sometimes she doesn't realize, but like if we're right before bed, she'll look at me and I'll be like, if you do that, don't do that face. That face is so scary. If you do that face again, I'm gonna smother you. I won't be able to control my body. I get very scared. So, all right. I'm giving World War Z. I give it 4 bicycles from The Wizard of Oz.
Oh,
there is
yes.
A bicycle from The Wizard of Oz.
I forgot about that.
There's Brad Pitt
Damn
on like
it.
A slow beach cruiser, which
so
is great
silly.
To see.
I wish it would have had tassels on the side.
I don't. I just want you guys to Sorry. Know, because I know there's going to be some listeners that tweet at me, like, I don't think this is a good movie. Okay. This is a fun movie. Not a good movie. Fun movie.
Was it good?
Nope. I wouldn't. Okay. I didn't think it was good. Oh, I will kill a lady. My arm. That's my sound effect. All right. Rhea, now what do you think about this week?
I'm thinking about a couple things. Number one, on the way over here, we heard Gimme Shelter by the Rolling Stones, which reminded me yet again of a movie that I've already left you with, but I just want to restate. 20 Feet from Stardom is an amazing film.
Ooh.
And Mary Clayton's backup vocals in that song, heartbreaking, beautiful, life-altering. Check it out. Please listen to it. That was recorded at like 3 in the morning. Her like line in that. God, it's so good. It is so good.
I gotta see that.
Second, I've been listening to a ton of Whitney Houston.
Ooh.
Might I recommend all of her stuff.
You want to dance with somebody?
I do want to dance with somebody. Can I be your baby tonight? Shoop, shoop, ba-dip. Waiting to exhale.
I'm going to love you for a little bit, a while.
I even
Always.
Like Million Dollar Bill. That's how far I'll go. I just like, I love Whitney Houston. I didn't realize, but like I get so emotional.
I get so emotional, baby. Every
she's
time.
Great. Anyway, she's beautiful. Because Sam Smith recorded a cover of How Will I Know? Who's a recently out singer. It's a great cover. I love his take on it. Although, I really hate that he changed the pronouns. Not because he changed them from he, obviously not to she, but because he says, how will I know if you really love me? And it changes the entire thesis of the song, because she's talking to a friend about how will I know if this guy that I like likes me? How will I know? And so then if he says, how will I know if you really love me? Well, I think you already figured it out because you just asked that person and it makes no sense if you listen to it. It really bothers me.
God, I love that you think that that would be the only love song where people were like directly asking. I feel like that's like half of love songs.
What love
like,
song? Yes, but
tell me the truth.
But the whole point of the song is that
about
she's
about whether or not we're gonna have
investing in a
babies.
Friend. How will I know if he really loves me?
I love
how will
your
I know
point.
If
I think you're
it doesn't
totally
make
right.
any sense. And then my last thing is that I saw for the first time a photograph of my grandmother, younger than 18. She was 11 years old, and I just want to give a shout out to my grandmother because
regular
she's
listener on the show.
Super cool. She doesn't know what this is at all,
or the internet,
like whatsoever. I tell her it's a radio show. She kind of gets it. She's into
That's
it.
It's adorable.
She loves baseball. She's keeping
she
up with it.
She does ask me about my shows.
She does ask you about your shows. She pays attention. She knows what's up. She just doesn't maybe understand the concept of a podcast. Cause
wait, did I tell your grandmother a dick joke one time?
Probably.
And she loved
she
it.
She loved it.
Do you remember that?
Yes,
God,
I wish I could remember what it was.
The joke.
I bet you she remembers, and she's 88 years old.
Oh, my God. Like,
she
said something,
loved
and I went
it, and
like,
she cackled out loud, yeah. Which you rarely get a cackle. From
she
my grandmother.
And then she said, like, you're wicked.
She really did. It was a great moment. You guys really bonded. I might have had it on video. I think I started recording after
God,
you guys were talking.
It was really good.
She's great.
All right, Ricky, what are you thinking about this week?
Cameron, you're going to marry a woman who just talked about the thesis in a Whitney Houston song.
I'm a lucky,
You're a goddamn lucky,
lady.
Woman. You're a goddamn lucky lady. All right, things on my mind. Colombia in the World Cup. Come on, Colombia, carajo! What?
Mundial!
Really thinking about my country and my team. Come on now! I found another great song that I think is fucking amazing, and I'm glad that we started off with Ain't No Mountain High Enough, because it's a cover of Ain't No Mountain High Enough by Inner Life. It's like one of these old like disco covers. It's like 10 minutes long. Mm. It's all fucking like violins and keyboards.
I love it.
Exactly. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that. That is fucking great. And then last night, we had a bunch of people over, and we put a movie on that in the back of my head, I was like, this is one of those movies that I know at one point we had music on, and people were going to be like, hey, can we actually turn down the music and finish watching this movie? We watched David Cronenberg's The Fly again last night. And
oh, wow.
I can't tell people enough, if you haven't seen that movie, a lot of people probably have, but if you haven't, give it a fucking shot. The last 10 minutes of that movie are how you end a fucking movie.
Ricky, like, can I see that movie, do you think? Now, I've seen like clips. I probably can't, right?
And Gina Davis is so good in that movie.
I was watching it, and I was thinking, like, it was one of the first times where I wasn't thinking to myself, like, oh, this should have gotten an Oscar because I really like it, and it should have gotten an Oscar. I was like, man, why didn't she get nominated for an Oscar? Why didn't Jeff Goldblum get nominated for an Oscar? The effects in that movie.
What if he came and he was just a little fly man?
And his arm fell off when on the Oscar.
He should have been nominated and won just for that.
God damn it. I can't see movies, but I know what's in them.
God damn it.
So we are actually off next week. We are celebrating the 4th of July holiday. And we want to say to you guys, happy birthday, America. Enjoy your cakes and flags, whatever you're going to eat. I assume you'll be eating flags. We'll be back on July 17th with a review of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which will be in theaters. So please check out that movie. I can't wait to see it. Until then, I'm Cameron Esposito.
I'm Rhea Butcher.
I'm Ricky Carmona.
And you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay and Maximum Fun. And thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.